This is the London FinTech Podcast, bringing you practical insights and approaches, stories and inspiration from the innovators who are building the new world of financial services.
I'm Tony Clark. I'm founder CEO of NextWave. I'm also the host of the London FinTech Podcast. So this is a London FinTech Podcast first, streaming live from Money 2020 in Amsterdam in a glass cube. My podcast advisors tell me this should be like a conversation in the pub, but this is the strangest pub I've ever been in, but really looking forward to it. So if you've joined us for this session, this is under the AI and the agentic age theme. We're going to be talking about the billion-dollar business of AI-ready data. And I'm here with Remco Denhaier, who is VP International Channels for Alteryx. Hey, Remco.
Hey, Tony. Glad to be here.
It's good to be here with you. So Alteryx, if anyone doesn't know them, are exhibiting over in the corner of the hall behind us, actually. So somewhere behind a couple of stands. Alteryx is a billion-dollar revenue company that's enabling the data foundations that the AI revolution relies on. Alteryx is extensively used to replace legacy data processes with governed versions, scalable and visible data workflows, which we're going to be talking all about in the next 20 or 30 minutes. And the platform operates seamlessly with the major cloud data platforms, so we're talking Snowflake, Databricks, etc., to serve and source AI-ready data for the agentic workforce. So there's going to be lots to talk about, but just before we get into it, Remco, good to see you. Is this your first Money 2020?
It is my first Money 2020, correct, but not my first podcast.
Good. Well, we both made it. So I came over from London yesterday, and what was supposed to be a 3-hour trip took the whole day because of cancelled flights. And I know you've been dealing with cancelled trains and things today as well.
Yes, I was.
In the nick of time. So what do you make of it so far? I mean, I've got my 10,000 steps in just doing two laps so far.
Absolutely massive. This event is so big. I'm hearing that there's 8,000-9,000 people here, and so I'm trying to speak to a good proportion of them over the next 2 days.
We'll see how we get on. Yeah. You, me, both. And this is in your hometown. So great for you to be here, right?
Yes, I'm so happy it's here. And it's weird that I haven't been here before at Money 2020, even though it's in my hometown.
Well, we haven't been to any parties yet. Well, I haven't, but maybe there's a chance this evening. There's 2,000 firms represented at Money 2020. And I was over with the press folks a bit earlier, hearing some of the releases and news updates, and there's so much going on around the floor. So we're doing our bit here to add to all of that, and really want to talk about data foundations.
I guess there's big money in money.
there is. So Remco, just before we get into it, a little bit about you, your journey to date, your career journey to date. I know you've come up through sort of big tech and international enterprise, prior to taking up the role with Alteryx.
Yeah. So, thanks for asking that. My background is indeed data and AI. Been in that business for, I think about 30 years now. At about 9 years at Oracle, a well-known company, of course. And I've been at SAS Institute for about 19 years, a company very well known for advanced analytics and being kind of the trailblazers in that area. And recently, the last year and a half, I've been at Alteryx as a VP of International Channels. And International Channels means Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia Pacific, and Japan. So everything but Americas is kind of like my remit with regards to all the partnerships, the alliances, the ecosystem that we manage that help us grow our business and delight our customers.
Yeah, so you're fully in the ecosystem, and you spend much of your time talking to Alteryx's customer base, which is probably no surprise, and that includes many Fortune 500 corporations and many of the firms that are actually at Money 2020, this event as well. How has the conversation with your customers changed with the accelerating pace of AI adoption and really the movement from strategy and buzzword to practical boardroom priority now?
Yeah, that's such an excellent opening question. You called this podcast, the billion-dollar business.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, yeah, that is what Alteryx is. Alteryx is a billion-dollar business. Yeah. But we are moving in a market that is truly a trillion-dollar business, if not trillions of dollars of business. And so how is the conversation changing with regards to AI? That's the opportunity that, that organization a few years ago, it might have been like, what is AI? What can it do for us? How can we experiment? And that conversation is now really changing towards, okay, how can we make AI work for us? How can we become profitable? How can we be more agile? How can we be faster? How can we do our work in a better way with our customers and operationalize and make our processes more efficient? So it's really about that. Deploying AI at scale is really the conversation these days. It's interesting because I don't know if you sometimes do that, but you watch your what's around in your house. I'm rebuilding my house as we speak, and I was looking at my books and I have a wall full of books, and I was thinking to myself, that was last night, I was getting a bit nostalgic, and I was thinking, like, why do I even have those books still? In the internet age, is that even needed? AI knows everything what's in those books. But I'm still looking at those books, like which books I haven't read yet, what kind of wisdom is there. And so I was in this nostalgic mood. And then suddenly I looked at one book in my book closet and I brought this with me here. Look at this. I don't know if you can see it. We have a camera here as well. This book is a book from the 80s. And the book is called Claude, A Portrait of Power.
There we go.
Now, what's so interesting is that in 2026, the meaning of this title, it's very, very different than what it meant back then, because this book is actually about Claude Watty. Yeah. Claude Watty was for many years, I believe 35 years, in charge of a tropical island called St. Martin in the Caribbean. And he got into power and he stayed into power for a very long time. And he did some really, really good things. He maybe also did some nefarious things. But he was able to put St. Martin on the map in a certain way and was, to get St. Martin push, above its weight in terms of developing tourism, getting a lot of, getting the economy to grow. And so I was thinking about the analogy with AI, because of course Claude, right now is one of the most powerful AI systems in the world, right? And this guy is Claude Watty. And so I was thinking about the analogy with that title and with that book. And you can think of St. Martin has beautiful beaches, right? But the beaches alone don't make St. Martin a top destination. What makes it a really great destination is the infrastructure around it. The infrastructure around it, the governance to organize all of that, making it all work. And in that same way, you could think of the beaches being the models. Claude is one of the best models. We have OpenAI models. We have Gemini models. But the models themselves are getting commoditized. And so the conversation, you're talking about what is changing in the conversation. Conversation is not so much anymore about what model is the best model. The conversation is about what is the infrastructure around those models to make it work for us. Same analogy as with the tropical island punching above their weight. What is the infrastructure putting in place to be able to actually get to those beautiful beaches and make this, a thriving economy?
Yeah. And of course, infrastructure has to be built on solid foundations and have great scaffolding and all of those things. So I love that analogy, by the way. I learned a new word a couple of weeks ago, which was claudification. When someone was describing that the sector had been claudified, I did try and get hold of the Anthropic guy at the conference for one of these conversations, but he's been a bit busy. They had a reported 80x uptake in institutional uptake on Anthropic in the first quarter of this year.
Yes.
So anyway, that's a different conversation, but I love the fact that you found the Claude book in your library. Let's talk about the data readiness problem. So this is where it starts. The opportunity for AI is underpinned by and fueled by AI ready data, and there's many stats out there. I think Gartner suggested that organizations abandon 60% of their AI initiatives because they don't have AI ready data. And is that a credible figure for you? Is that what you're seeing across the Alteryx ecosystem? And I'd love to ask, is an example of, where data goes wrong that really puts that into contrast?
Yeah, honestly, that number may even be conservative.
Okay.
At the end of the day, most AI projects don't fail because the models are bad. Just the analogy that I just gave with the beaches. Yeah. The beaches are beautiful. The AI projects fail because organizations are not able to consistently apply business logic, context to the models in order to make them work at scale. Right. So, there's a lot of excitement around agentic AI, and all of that is good. But the real challenge is trust. Right. Because if the data that is being queried with AI, and if the AI is being put to use, but you don't know, you don't have the visibility around it. You don't know that there's an understanding of what that data means. Can you repeat, how you got to those results in the first place? And is that stuff auditable? Then that's really what it comes down to. So that's to me, those things are becoming more and more important than just having the models in and of themselves. But you can see that being behind models, AI projects failing.
Yeah. And I thought, before the show kicked off this morning, I wondered what the most used phrase at Money 2020 was going to be. And I thought, is it going to be crypto? Is it AI? Is it stablecoin? And the word I've heard the most since this morning is actually trust. And it's in all of these conversations, mm-hmm. and that's really what it boils down to.
Yes, yes.
So I think fundamentally that's what we're talking about, because if you're going to put assets on chain or you're going to be trusting your customer base with AI-driven, agentic-driven processes, mm-hmm. you've got to be able to feel comfortable and have confidence and put your business and in many cases on a regulated industry, put your personal career and personal status on the line to trust the data and the processing and the AI that's delivering those outcomes. So AI-ready data then as the foundation. Let's talk about that for a minute. I've mentioned AI-ready data about four times already and without really explaining what it is. But Remco, this is really what Alteryx does. So what's your definition? AI-ready data?
Well, I can tell you what it is not. AI-ready data is not data that is clean. AI-ready data is data that you can trust, to your point about trust. It is data that you can trust. It is data that you know where it came from. You know how the data may have been transformed. That you can repeat that process, and it can be audited, right? And so that is what AI ready data is. And when I talk about this visibility and being able to understand and repeatability and being auditable, I call that VURA, VURA, visible, okay. Understandable, repeatable, and auditable. That is at the end of the day is what trust comes down to. If you have those things in place, then that's how you can get to AI-ready data.
VURA. Visible, VURA. Understandable, repeatable, auditable, right?
Yep, that's ultimately okay, what trust
looks like. Pretty easy to remember.
Yes.
So can you just unpack that a little bit, perhaps, in the context? Let's pick a use case, claims handling for an insurance company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When we're talking visible, understandable, repeatable, auditable data. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
Well, where did the data come from in the first place? What was it? If you look at a data set, what rules were applied to actually get to the data set in the first place? It may have been combined and, with other data. And then then you look at that data. What does that data even mean? Which rules were applied? You may think of who approved those rules. Can it be reproduced? So that's, if you look at a claims process, it's exactly the same kind of concept, regardless of what the use case is, whether it's about fraud recognition, whether it's claims processing, whether it's about giving somebody a loan, yes or no. It always comes down to those points.
Yeah. So I guess in that example, it's going to be, well, where did the policy data come from that you used? Where did the customer data come from that you used?
Yeah. It might have come from different systems because maybe you've acquired, another insurance company. You try to roll it into your systems. Well, maybe it's not completely integrated with your main, with your main system yet. Right?
Yeah. And this is, fundamentally for me, there's been a lot of debate about agentic workers and agentic models, single agent models, multi-agent models, synthetic workers, digital twins, and the human robot workforce.
Mm-hmm.
But for the regulated industries where we're sitting, today and where everyone is in the sector, for me, it's the power and the acceleration of generative AI, but on governed rails, on defined workflows, and this idea of really at this stage twinning your employees and giving them the keys to handling your customer base and all customer comms, it's not there yet. And I think there's a lot of debate about human in the loop, and you can have maker checker models and all those things, but this idea of deterministic rules at the core but with the acceleration and the power of agentic and Gen AI over the top, I feel is the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, if Netflix gives you a wrong recommendation, it's annoying.
Yeah.
If an AI agent gives you a wrong banking decision, you might have a regulatory event.
Yeah.
And you can't have that. So that's exactly why if you want to have the good of the AI agents, which is the ability to reason, the flexibility, you know, the intelligence behind it. But you need to be able to, when it, you know, when it is about the data and it is about informing decisions, whether humans are making decisions or whether it is a decision within a process that an agent may run, that needs to be correct. And it needs to be, again, auditable. And there's nothing that can go wrong with that. And that's the deterministic part of that. And that's what we indeed call the guardrails of the workflow. So yeah, you got to be able to apply the business logic, which is the context, like what you know, who did what to whom, and and to which data, and then you got to be able to be able to govern that in the right way. And then that brings me back to Claude, the portrait of power. It is a lot of power in AI, and I feel that more and more it is about there's more and more power going to come into the hands of organizations that we're going to give the AI a lot more power, and then you got to be even better able to govern that power and have it within the guardrails that you set up front.
Yeah, and I think this is going to come into sharper contrast with the advent of the EU AI Act, of course, where you've got to be able to evidence the risk ratings of your AI models, and it's evidence-based proof. So, so you've got to be able to measure and show where the data is coming from. And this is really where Alteryx fits, which is why I think this is such a relevant conversation. As I understand it, Alteryx ran some 380 million data workflows last year. So you've got, it's not just FS, but you've got a multi-sector client base, and you are really that data layer that's pulling from all sorts of data sources, some of them spreadsheets and underlying databases and other systems of record. But you're pulling data, you're normalizing it, you're cleaning it, you're getting it ready for AI. And crucially, you're able to audit and measure those workflows. Was that a decent description of where you fit in the whole infrastructure stack?
Yeah, those 380 million workflows was actually also a massive growth versus the year before.
Yeah.
And what that tells me is that we're looking at an industrialization of analytics.
Yeah.
Businesses don't run on prompts; they run on processes. They run on workflows, and so what this tells me is that organizations are going from having maybe separate use cases that are being automated to automating them at scale across multiple use cases, across multiple departments, and that's why we see such a growth in these workflows across our platforms that we can measure so clearly. And so that's at the end of the day what we see, what I would also say is that that then plays into what our platform is right now.
You're solving a very practical problem.
Yep.
One of our mutual banking clients, who I think probably at the show, runs 24,000 spreadsheets in their financial month close.
Yes.
And they do that because they are embedded in the month close process.
Yes.
And they can't actually throw them away,
but
yet they've committed to the regulator that they will move off what the sector calls end user compute, which is uncontrolled spreadsheets essentially, onto something that's on platform.
Yeah.
And that's a very real problem. I mean, that's actually a regulatory commitment to go on platform, which Alteryx can solve for. But of course, it's also the foundation, the stepping stone for AI. Because once you're pulling that data in a uniform, normalized way, then you can apply, you can use AI to get more value from it.
Yeah, we have so many examples like this, and in banking in particular, we have, for instance, Bank of America that is doing regulatory reporting testing processes, and before they started using our platform, it took them 1,700 hours to do all that whole regulatory testing. They automated all of those processes, right? When you talk about workflows, applying the right business logic to the data, and then being able to do that and automate it, and they moved it from 1,700 hours back down to 1 hour.
Whoa!
So it's not like a 50% increase or 90% improvement. We're talking about 1,700 to 1.
Yeah. And you know, I think I said top of the conversation, aside from hosting this pod show, I run a consulting company called Next Wave, and we do partner with Alteryx. So Remco and I know each other already, but there are numerous use cases. And for one of the other big US banks, we took LIBOR reporting from 5 weeks down to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was a smaller contained use case, yes, but it was something that was reported after the fact, 5 weeks late, because it had to be reported. But it went to something that was pseudo real time, and the desk then started making credit decisions on it. So it actually got a whole new value dynamic out of the data that they never had, and also saved some headcount as well in the process.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So we're very happy to have those happy customers, and many of them indeed here.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to partner with NextWave, of course.
Before we jump right into today's episode, a quick thank you to our sponsor, NextWave. NextWave is an award-winning consultancy that is helping many of the world's leading banks, investment managers, and insurers deliver on their growth, efficiency, risk, and control goals and transform their businesses. With a senior team who have come from MD-level positions in major firms like HSBC, Barclays, and UBS, NextWave has both the deep industry expertise and the hands-on capabilities in AI, data, and automation to drive real results. More business outcomes and less PowerPoint from the consulting experience, as their clients like to say. NextWave has moved 2-week manual processes to 5-minute agentic automations, rescued global banking regulatory control programs, and digitized deal platforms, sustainability, and regulatory reporting systems. And they do much of this with hands-on engineering capabilities on leading technologies, which include ServiceNow, Alteryx, Quantexa, and Comunda. So if a modern and specialist alternative to the big brand consulting model sounds appealing, one which covers the full life cycle of strategy specialists and solutions, but with small practitioner teams, rapid delivery, and a better price point, then perhaps you should talk to NextWave. Visit nxwave.com to find out more and get in touch. That's nxwave.com. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Coming back to Alteryx One, what does it do?
We sit between the raw data and business outcomes, right? So Alteryx One is a platform. Obviously, it's a piece of software because we are a software company that takes data and it transforms them. It transforms the data into business logic and then operationalizes that logic into business actions, into business decisions. That's what it does.
And it does it on a very visual canvas. You can build your data flows by dragging things around and connectors to connect to data sources, connectors to connect to data visualization or analytics outputs. And you can build scalable, repeatable, governed workflows for your data in the tool.
Exactly.
Inside the cloud data platforms as well. So you're integrated with the data.
Correct.
So
the data does not have to leave, insurance companies or banks. Preferred cloud data platform, it can stay in there. But the visual canvas enables a business analyst that might be sitting in a FP&A or might be sitting in the risk department or might be sitting in the marketing department to be able to work, because it is a canvas, a visual canvas. And so you don't need to be a programmer to be able to still have a very, enterprise grade environment to work with all, to have all those capabilities at your fingertips. That's why, this software is used and loved by, a community of hundreds of thousands of people. We have a community that's 750,000 people on our website. They can all go there and they help each other out with all the use cases that are out there. Now, having said that, you describe it as a visual canvas that people can work with. But what we increasingly see is the agentic AIs that the agents start using, those workflows that may have been built by business analysts, or actually the agents can help in creating those workflows. And so that's really where we see a true acceleration of the application of the software and towards all the use cases that we see in the financial services.
Which is something that we're investing in together.
Yeah.
So I talked about that insurance claims example. We have a working solution whereby we actually have a couple of insurance agents. I think one of them is a claims handler and the other one's an inbox triage agent working on top of an Alteryx platform connected via MCP, and the fraud scorecard and everything sits in the Alteryx rails, and the rules-based deterministic flows, and the agents are working over the top.
Yes.
And we've built that one for front office, back office, REC. So anyone out there from the banking community, this thing called FoboREC, we've got one running for that as well. And this is where the industry, where the sector's going, isn't it?
Yeah. I love your example. You know, your insurance example is first notification of loss, right?
It's
a real yeah. use case that we can help insurance companies with.
Yeah.
And so, we're happy to partner with you, but obviously, our business partners play a very, very important role.
Yeah.
You can't get to AI readiness as an organization, as a bank, as an insurance company. You can't get to AI readiness just by deploying one technology. So in that, you need a business partner. A business partner knows the particular use case, has the industry expertise. The business partner that we work with has the knowledge around the systems in the organization, has the expertise around the product as well. And it brings it all together. And maybe also about other products that are adjacent, other technologies that are adjacent to it. So that's why we love having an ecosystem that work with us to solve our customers' problems.
And you're hearing it in all the conversations here. So the other big theme is the great rebundling, and it's this new ecosystem component stack to build end-to-end services on new technologies and using new service components. And you're hearing it everywhere. And I was in a fantastic stablecoins conversation earlier on today in Money Lab, and the amount of partners that were in that particular initiative, it was dozens of firms involved in building the stack out.
Yes.
And so you're very much connective tissue in that context, aren't you? Because you're connecting to underlying systems, apps, we're just starting to talk about agentic flows, and you're building that as those with a variety of technologies. I mean, the first example of first notification loss we built using Google ADK, and we showed it to one of the big banking clients, and they said, "Oh, can you rebuild that using Anthropic?" So we rebuilt it on the cloud platform.
Fine with us.
And so it goes, right? Everyone's assembling the parts. It's kind of a technical Lego.
What you need is interoperability.
Yeah.
From a technology point of view, as well as from a business partner point of view.
And switching it around, we also found that AI can help us build the workflows.
Yes.
So when you're facing into tens of thousands of spreadsheets that need to be refactored, if you can actually get AI coding to help you refactor some of those into governed workflows, there's a huge advantage. And we found that if you can context prompt the agents with standard operating procedures, and you do have to do that, but they can actually build flows for you as well.
Yes, that is exciting. And so, and that's why you see a massive increase in productivity of people that are dealing with these challenges and opportunities.
Yeah, and as I said a few minutes ago, very, very practical challenge. So hopefully you're getting some great conversations on the stand. This is sort of where Alteryx fits in this whole equation. Everyone's talking about data, talking about trust, talking about visibility, and you need a very practical way of knitting the data together and being able to measure and audit it. And that's really where you guys sit. So if there's anyone, I don't know who's outside listening to this, I don't want to look in case we've lost some of the audience, but if a data leader is listening to this podcast, what would be one concrete step that you would recommend, something you could do next week to make your data more AI ready?
I would say for the data leader is to look at just take one business decision that needs to be taken anywhere, and then look at the lineage behind that, or the business decision that was taken, and look at all the lineage that happened behind that. Follow the data, follow the rules, follow the approvals, follow all the transformations, and most organizations will be shocked at all the complexity that you discover, or sometimes even the inconsistencies or gaps that are sometimes behind it. And so if you try to circle this back to AI and AI agents, you can't trust AI back to the trust word if you don't trust the journey that this data took.
Yeah.
Right? So that's my one recommendation for the data leaders.
Follow the data, map the journey, start there.
Map the journey. And I'm in a situation right now, as we speak. I told you earlier, we're in a renovation, right? Which is, I was looking at my book closet in the first place. And so we're renovating our house, and I wanted to get an extra mortgage. I wanted to get a little bit of extra money, so I apply for the mortgage. We go through all these processes, but you know, these days, you know, everything gets lifted, and you need to give the bank so much of the detail, and then we did a pre-check, and it turns out, and you know, that I can actually indeed have an extra little mortgage, not even that much. Push comes to shove, we got pre-approved. 4 weeks later, it's like, okay, press the button, we want to get the loan. And then suddenly, out of the woodworks, somebody in the mortgage provider had told my my mortgage advisor, no, it's not possible anymore. It's like, why? Well, we have this rule that we cannot give anybody a bigger loan than X amount. And so, and you know, this, your combined, you know, mortgage will now be higher than that amount. Well, first of all, number one, that rule is already broken because my existing mortgage with that same provider is already higher than that amount. And then number two, that business rule was never applied in the first place when they did the pre-check on the mortgage. And so now when the push comes to shove, you actually can't do the mortgage. And it's like, well, go figure it out, even though it's not about whether I have enough financial room to be able to pay the mortgage. So what are you faced with here? You're faced with an unhappy customer. Yeah. You're faced with, you know, a lot of work and inefficiencies because the organization got to work. And it could have been solved if you would have mapped all the business logic, all the context that is there in the right way.
Yeah, well, I think we're straying into customer experience territory.
Yes.
An equally important topic, but not one that we'll have time for. I want to just switch the angle slightly because we've been talking about the data flows, agentic readiness. And Remco, in your role, you are head of alliances and channels international. So just thinking about the ecosystem and the people that you're dealing with, and often at these events, you talk a lot about models and agents, but actually it comes back to transformation. It comes back to people change. It comes back to that dynamic is so important. And I'm curious what you may have learned with your international footprint, you know, and we're sitting here at the European Money 2020.
Sure.
So what have you seen in other geographies in terms of AI readiness, data infrastructure challenges and progress? And are there meaningful differences in the regions and anything that Europe perhaps could learn from other people?
This is super interesting. Obviously, indeed, I work for an American company. My direct boss is American.
Yeah.
I've lived in Singapore and on the other side of the world. I've lived in other countries as well, next to the Netherlands. And so I can confidently say that, you know, I can kind of compare a little bit.
Mm.
But you know what's so interesting? It's the differences are not that big, actually. The differences that you do see is between organizations that treat data as a strategic asset and organizations that don't. And the organizations that treat data as a strategic asset and everything that comes with it, they're the ones that are the winners in this AI age. And so now, does that mean that there are no regional differences between Asia, Europe, and America? And what can they learn from each other? Yeah, sure. I mean, I think what we can learn here in Europe from the Americans is fast innovation and just quick, you know, just experiment and go fast, and don't be too afraid to break things. What can Americans maybe learn from Europeans? Europeans think very deeply about governance. Mm. What can we learn from the Asians? Asians are very good at execution and being very rigorous around execution. Now, obviously, I'm generalizing, right? This is a big general statement, but I'm a big believer in you know, keeping your eyes wide open. Having a 2020 vision, pun intended, with the Money 2020 conference name here, but keeping your eyes wide open and learn from, you know, everywhere where you can learn from as an organization, whether it's from China, from Europe, from America.
And where do you think we are on the AI journey now, overall, sector-wise? And opinions differ, right? If you listen to the Frontier Labs and the existential warnings, then maybe life as we know it is going to be over this time next year. And I went to a analyst event a couple of weeks back where they had a timeline that went out to 2040 for agentifying multi-sector industries. And that was only work in progress even at 2040. So it was sort of 15-year timeline. And I thought, crikey, it can't be that. And for me, I think the answer's somewhere in between. There's an enormous amount of latency and inertia around big corporations and you know, automating front to back using AI, which is going to take years to do. But from your touch point with the sector, you know, how far into all of this do you think we are?
Oh, I honestly, okay, a couple of points. Number one is I think we're at the beginning still. Having said that, I think it goes much faster than you think. And point number three is, can we actually predict what's going to happen? Well, some people are arguing we might hit a singularity if we're not already in it, which is the point beyond which you can't see, because the speed of AI innovation is accelerating. So we're on this exponential. Yeah. People find it hard to understand exponentials truly. There's a lot of innovation happening outside of the big corporates, and they're sometimes overtaking bigger organizations faster than we'd ever seen. We're witnessing, as we speak, back again to Claude, Anthropic, the company behind Claude. What are they projected to have in, turnover there by the end of this year? 100 billion revenues by the end of this year. And for a company that's maybe not even 3 years old, it's just unprecedented. Right, so where are we? We're at the beginning. Plus, acceleration goes faster than we can even think. And I'm the last one that's going to predict what's going to happen. But what I can say is the core concepts are quite firm. I talked about this framework, Vura, right? Visible, understandable, repeatable, auditable. If you want to use the data and make to your advantage, those are key concepts that you want to apply to your business processes, in a big company or a small company.
Yeah, and the pace of innovation is extraordinary. You've only got to walk around this event to get a sense of it. And I remarked to someone earlier that it seems like the world's largest banks are all up on balcony one, overlooking the floor. Having a private meeting, because they are. You can have a look around there. And on the floor, so we've got every flavor of agentic innovation and white labeled, ready to build crypto architectures and so forth.
Yes.
It's quite a head spin, actually. And I did find myself wandering around thinking, well, if I was, mid-tier bank wanted to get into crypto, I'm not sure who I would turn to plug that infrastructure in, because there's so many options.
Yeah, they are. And no advice from me on this one here, but innovation is accelerating for sure.
But meantime, that whatever it was, 360 million, 380 million workflows number for Alteryx, which in itself is a startling number. You noted it's probably 30-40% up on the same number last year.
I said it was significantly up, but you're right on the percentage. It's a ballpark between 30-40%.
Yeah, so your business is accelerating as well.
Our business is accelerating, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Okay. Well, we've only got a few minutes left, and I just want to sort of wider note, because you wear several hats, Remco, right? So your alliances and international with Alteryx, and we talked about some early career. But along the way, you've also been an angel investor in startups.
Yes.
So this sort of conference floor, you're probably somewhat familiar with. I think you're sort of got your finger in multi-sector, so it's not all financial services. And I sat on a media session earlier today where there were press release updates, product updates from big firms and small firms, and we're doing another one tomorrow, which is seven of the brightest startups that the conference has selected, so I'm looking forward to that. So I have a window onto the innovation sector, so I sort of have a view on kind of what I look for. But for you, what do you look for when you're walking the floor and there's 2,000 companies here, and some of them are really quite small? What do you look for in the companies that you've invested in?
Yes, that I've invested in and that I will invest in. That is correct. I'm an angel investor, and I'm in several companies. You need to build a little bit of a portfolio because some of them will fail. Yes. We can talk about that. And it might even be a large percentage, but that's inherent to that business. What I'm looking for, I don't necessarily invest in ideas alone. I look for founders that can learn faster than the market changes.
Okay.
And so what is key? Founder quality, grit, being able to adapt, total market size. What's the problem that's being addressed, and how big can that market become? And how big of a slice can the company get? So the execution power behind that is really important as well.
Okay. One thing that perhaps from your career that for the entrepreneurs out there, you wish you'd known at the start, so you would like to pass on?
So, yeah, that question makes me feel old, Tony.
You and me both.
But I do think it's an excellent question, and it's great to pass on some nuggets of knowledge and wisdom. Look, technologies change, markets change, companies change, but at the end of the day, relationships is what is still at the heart of what matters. So build relationships early and soon in your career, and nurture those relationships, because those relationships will compound over the years, and that will get you to the next platform.
Yeah, and they come back when you least expect them. My head of commercial always reminds me. He says, "Oh, we're going to see so and so," and I think, "Oh, okay, well, that's a new introduction." And on more than one occasion, and maybe it's just my limited memory capacity, I've walked into a room and someone said, "Oh, I know, we've met before. We did this and we did that." And sometimes I forget. But if you
stay hungry, stay curious, and build your relationships,
you're going to meet them on the other side.
You're going to meet them somewhere.
Yes. Right. Okay. So just wrapping up. If anyone wants to find out more about Alteryx, we talked about it a lot, or indeed come and talk to you, Remco. I think the booth is just over there, isn't it? In the middle of this hall.
Alteryx does have a booth here, and we are sponsoring this for the first time, this event, and already having a lot of fun. So people can find us there, and obviously they can find us on the internet, alteryx.com. And my name, Remco Den Haaijer, of course, can be found on LinkedIn if they want to connect with me. And please do reach out.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so I think that's a wrap. This will be out on the London FinTech podcast on the usual channels. And thank you to our audience.